In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to talk a bit about that reading, but just start off with the way in which God loves us just so much. It is just utterly amazing. We go astray. People go astray, can't find their way back to Him, and it was for this reason that God sent Jesus into the world. It was to enable us to become His children who would be with Him forever. And so to do that, firstly, Jesus had to come into this world to carry our sins, that removed this huge barrier between us and God. And secondly, Jesus then had to send His Spirit into all His disciples, all who came to Him, in order to make them on the inside children of God who were close to God. So on His way to achieving this, Jesus had to carry out a couple of tasks in order to reach as many people as possible. So one of His tasks was that He needed to teach and to do things that would show anybody who was interested what God is actually like. How do you know what God is like? And people at that time could see what God was like by listening to the things Jesus said and seeing what He did. So, for example, Jesus taught how God is like the most loving Father that you can possibly imagine. And then also, He healed people. And also, He related to people in a way that showed just how much God cared about them. So that was one task, show people what God is like. Second task now, because He knew if He was going to die, that He needed to have people left behind who was going to carry on the work. So He had to establish a team of disciples who would teach and who would heal and do the same kind of things to show God's love as He had. And He chose a team of 12 apostles in order to be the leaders for His followers of the future. And He trained them and trained others who wanted to be trained in all that they would need to do once He was no longer there. And so now the point of me saying this to you is that for Jesus to accomplish this goal, He didn't say the Lord's Prayer once on one occasion to those people who were lucky enough to be there that time to hear it. He gave His teaching many times, on many occasions. He needed to repeat His teaching. And similarly, you see the kinds of miracles He did. He had to do the same kind of miracles in lots of places so that people in lots of places could see what He was like. So I think it should come to us as absolutely no surprise that there are two separate occasions recorded for us in Scripture where Jesus chased people who were selling animals for their sacrifices out of the temple. And the gospel reading we heard today was about the first of those occasions. And as we are told, it happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the point of it all is that it shows people what God is like. It shows what God wants for you and me. That God wants us to worship Him without other things getting in the way. And He's annoyed, upset when other things get in the way. Whereas the second occasion is quite different. It happened in the last week of Jesus' life, just a few days before He was killed, when Jesus was having a series of confrontations with the religious authorities. And on that occasion, He utters a strong, strong condemnation of those people. He says, "You have made God's temple a den of thieves." But that's not how it is in the gospel reading today. What happened there? Jesus found these people in the temple changing money, selling animals for the sacrifices that the worshippers needed for their worship of God. And what we're told is He made a whip out of cords and drove those people who were doing that out of the temple courts. And He had to have been pretty angry to have done that, I think. Now, we're not told that He hit anybody. And indeed, I think it just goes against everything else that we know about Jesus to think that He might have hit everybody. Because, for example, the night before he died, when he was arrested. Peter, his disciple, wanting to defend Jesus against these soldiers, draws a sword and cuts off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. And Jesus tells Peter off, and he heals that man's ear. And then on another occasion, Jesus was going around different places, and he went to this village that would not welcome him, didn't want him to come in. Go away! And Peter and John were so up, it was John and James, sorry, were so upset about this that they said to Jesus, let's call down thunderbolts to destroy that village. And we're told Jesus rebuked them for this. So I'm saying that everything we read about Jesus tells us he was not a person who damaged people. He didn't damage people. But what we're also told that he sometimes did, sometimes he confronted people who were doing things that were very wrong. And on this occasion, by the force of his personality, as well as by his actions and cracking a whip, Jesus drove those people who were selling animals and the money changers out of the temple courts. And his message was, stop making my father's house into a market. And I think, you may think I'm wrong, but I think his emphasis here, what he's trying to say, is there is a right attitude to worship and a wrong attitude to worship. He's saying this building where you come to worship, this temple, is not a temple where you can just do anything at all that occurs to you. It is a house of worship. It's built to worship God. So he says, this is my father's house. So he is thinking this is a place where people come in order to connect with God. And you might think I'm wrong too, that I don't think myself Jesus was only concerned about the honour of God. I think he was concerned that the worshippers who come to this place, that they come because they wanted to connect with God. I think he was concerned that they did connect with God. I think he loved them. So buying and selling animals when they were coming to worship God was just a huge distraction to those people thinking about God. It just had to have reduced their worship of God. And I want to say, I think Jesus never ever made a fuss about things that didn't matter. And he said, the most important thing is that we must love God with all of our hearts. And so I think that on this occasion, when he drove the money changers and the merchants out of the temple, he was acting to try and help people to be able to worship God with all of their hearts and not be distracted by something else. And I think you and I maybe need to get this one too. And in our own lives, make every effort not to be distracted, either by money, financial concerns, or other things, not to be distracted from our worship of God. That we should remove from our lives any kind of clutter that gets in the way of our worshiping God. In the sermon that Jesus preached on a mount, this is recorded in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29, where Jesus, who was a first century Jew, spoke in the very, very colourful, exaggerated kind of way that they spoke. And he said, you know, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Well, Kiwis don't talk that kind of language, but what he's saying is that if something really matters to you, it's precious, it's important to you, like your eyes are, you need to get rid of that thing if it gets in the way of your relationship with God. At a different kind of level, a completely different kind of level, at the end of chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul says, you know, some Christians go around making rules for themselves, inventing rules for themselves. Rules like don't eat that kind of food, or do this on this kind of occasion. Rules that sound as if they've thought about things really carefully, sound quite profound and deep, but actually, St. Paul says, they don't do a thing to make you closer to God. These kind of additional things even get in the way of our relationship with God. And I think one of the really, really attractive things about Jesus for people who were watching him is that although he did such a lot of things, his life always seemed to be in balance, in sync, as it were, never too busy, in a sense, in order to get something right. And so I think this means not only did he have an incredible instinct for knowing and doing those things which God, his Father, wanted him to do, I think it means he just must also have had a knack of knowing what things not to do. And although Jesus then had a huge agenda, he kept his life uncluttered. And at least partly because his life was uncluttered, we are able to see perfectly in him how we are meant to live. With the love of God as our very first priority, and the love of our neighbour as our second priority. Well, we worship God, you and I, in the way Jesus wants us to do when we come here together every week. But we also worship God at other times when we're on our own. And in my efforts over the years to try and improve my worship with God, sometimes I try out something new. And so one time I thought I should spend more time praying. So I thought that would please God, hoped it would be helpful for our church, and hope it would be helpful for the people I was praying for. And to make time for this extra prayer, I just set my alarm to go off an hour earlier in the morning, and that extra hour was going to be prayer. Well, after I had been doing this for about a week, my wife said to me, "I think you're a bit sleep deprived. You are becoming a bit bad tempered." So I was a bit taken aback at this, but I thought about it, and I realised she was right, because I noticed that I was finding a greater struggle to be patient with things I was frustrated with, but also to be patient with the three preschoolers we had at that time. And being impatient with three preschoolers is not good for the family dynamic, is it? So I weighed up the positives now of me praying this extra time against the negatives of relating unhelpfully to other people, and decided surely if this idea had come from God, the result should be good, not bad. So I stopped doing it. But I did learn from that experience that when it is right for me to add something new into my life, I need also to identify something else that I'm going to take out. So I'm not just trying to do more, but I'm managing to keep my spiritual life as free from clutter as I can. So I think the challenge I see in that Bible reading we had is that Jesus, I think, calls us to remove from our lives anything which we see that harms other people, maybe harms us, or prevents us hearing God's voice, or prevents us doing what he wants. And I think that you and I need to be just as vigorous in removing those things as Jesus was vigorous in driving those money changers out of the temple. And I think that if we can do that, we not only please God, I think we will end up helping others and helping ourselves as well. So I'm going to pray. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for just how utterly inspiring you are in all that you did and said. And so I pray that we can take a leaf out of your book and learn to eliminate, especially from our own lives, I guess, things that get in the way of worship of God. Pray that you'll help inspire us so that we can offer God our wholehearted worship. In your name we ask it. Amen.